Father. We come into your presence. With more thanksgiving than we can ever express. Could spend the rest of our life in thanksgiving. Could enter your courts with praise. Thank you for this time. We all say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For your faithfulness. For your long suffering, for your gentleness, for your kindness, for your love, for your grace, for being our friend, for being our comfort. Where do we stop? Never, Lord. Never, ever, ever. We give you all the honor. All the honor, Lord. All the glory. All the glory. All the praise. Thank you. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for your patience in showing us what a true Father really is. Removing all the memories. And allowing us to see the present and the future. We bless you. We bless you. We bow before you and thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for light. Thank you for removing darkness. Thank you for anointing our eyes to see, our ears to hear. We bless you, and bless you, and bless you. And everyone said, Amen. It's very important that all of us know how we are known in heaven. Did you hear that? It's very important. Matter of fact, it's probably the most important thing. I know Leah. I know you. But what's most important is how I'm known in heaven. Do I know how I'm known in heaven? We've talked somewhat about blueprints. We could have called it a journal. we could have called bringing together every word that the Lord has given you in regards to your unique position in the body. Not only your call, but your walk. Not only the gifts that you have, but who you really are in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, that's a personal prayer. Every time you even think that or say that, you're asking the Father to bring your identity that is in heaven to reality in you here in this earth. You know, he does not answer any prayers that is contrary to the plan that he has for your life. He's more single-minded than we are. He sees all of the past and all of the future. We know he sits outside of time. And every time he looks at you, what does he see? He sees eternity. You realize that? He not only sees the past and the present, he sees eternity, and he knows that he's going to spend all eternity with you. How long is eternity? And he's doing everything possible through every gift, through the rest of the body, to bring his eternity that he has for you into the present. And every word that he's ever given you, every heart touched of a word that's come forth, or a rhema word, or scripture, all is designed for one thing, for you personally to inherit your eternity. Now that's a father. And that's an elder brother. And that's a savior. And that's a counselor. And that's a helper. That's everything that God is. Designed for you personally. You. We have what we've called the seven pillars. And we said the seven pillars of truth. But it is also could be known as the seven pillars of fellowship. If I take, I wish I had a $100 bill, but if I take this $20 bill and give it to Diana, that's a gift. That is not who Diana is. I do not have fellowship with Diana because of that gift. I have fellowship with Diana as to who she is. The gifts that are going to come above ground, I'm going to say be exposed, but really come to maturity. Since the first of the year, the Lord has continually reminded us that we're no longer in a time of hiddenness. We're in a time of manifestation. As long as we were in the wilderness, there was not a lot of need for the gifts. But the gifts are not who you are. It's the fellowship as to who you are and who you're becoming. I'll read the seven pillars. Praying in tongues, praise and worship, confession of the word, meditation of the word, fasting, waiting on the Lord, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, that is who we are. And that is what you look like in heaven. Is that level of fellowship increasing and increasing and increasing? If you're someone that delivers the word, there was a word that came forth some time ago that said that you would spend almost your entire time in fellowship, and that you would come out of that time of fellowship and you would deliver what the Father had for you to deliver, and you would immediately go back into fellowship. It said that same thing about gospel entrepreneurs. Really, it's every gift. But in gospel entrepreneurs, he instructed and directed to say, do you think that you are any different than the individual that I use to bring forth revelation knowledge? That you will spend your entire time before me, in fellowship with me, and you will come out of that time and you will wield the sword for 2 to 3 hours, and you will come back into my presence. Many words have been said. I have some here, but because of the time, he has continually reminded us that your fellowship with him is more valuable than anything that you can do for him. And we're headed into a time, we've already arrived, where there's going to be that temptation or the opportunity for us to get one degree off and begin to use the gifting that the Lord's given us, and we're going to try to operate it in the flesh instead of operating it out of the time of fellowship. He just reminded me. I'm going to read this one. For do you think that I have a reward system that pertains to your mind and the way that you think, says the Lord? My reward system is not the way that you think. Hear what the Spirit would say. For a man can walk a short time with me and have a great reward. Another man can walk a long time with me and have little reward. It is not how long you serve me. It's what you're faithful with, and my reward is based on the less that person sees and the more faithful that they are to me, and more faithful they are in times of trouble. How many since the first of the year it seems like trouble has increased in your life? You didn't put up your hands high enough. For everybody that's not putting their hands up to see, yeah, you may stand. Okay. But do you realize that you're here this morning? That you've been found faithful? Look at the empty seats. Look at those who have been here and are no longer here. And I'm not critical about any of them. I'm only saying that he is rewarding you. A better way to say it, or equal way to say it, is you realize how much pleasure you're bringing him because you're here? Can you imagine the smile on his face that no matter the amount of trouble that has come your way, you're here? And how much pleasure it brings him? You haven't given $1 million. You haven't raised the dead. You haven't done any of that. Okay. But your reward is not based on that, because he does all that. But he cannot make you faithful. You make yourself faithful by your love for him. It's what you're faithful with, and my reward is based on less the person sees and the more faithful they are to me. The more faithful they are in times of trouble, in the time of war, and the more they accomplish in my spirit, and the more that they serve me when others fall away. We know we entered into war the first of the year. It wasn't that we were not in war before. It was that he called our attention to the fact that this season we were no longer in a war within the wilderness, but we have walked into the promised land, or went across Jordan, and we are going to win by offensive warfare, is how he titled it. For hear what the Spirit would say. It is with these attributes that I carry my revival and my glory. Those attributes of faithfulness is how he carries and brings the revival. At times there's only a few hanging on. Oh, the reward they'll have for not turning loose when all others turn loose. Great will be their reward. But tend... Don't you enjoy how the Lord is able to say something that you couldn't even conceive how to say what he says? Listen to this. But tend to your own backyard, says the Lord. Once again, he's more interested in you tending to your own backyard. Says the Lord, be faithful, pull your own weeds, and I'll bless you. I'll bless you, says the Lord, you'll see, for I have great things prepared for you. Well, I get to read another one. The majority of my family still wonder how I can use them and how I will be able to use them as I pour out my love. How many of you are wondering that? Come on now, tell the truth. No, higher for those people that already know their future. The majority of my family still wonder how I can use them and how I will be able to use them as I pour out my love, my grace, and my power on this earth. Though you are in the world, you are citizens of my kingdom and members of my glory. Hear this. There is nothing that is done in my kingdom that is by your power or ability. He said nothing. It's not by might, And it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. Leah and I have had, but since the first of the year, we have had experiences with individuals and with situations that I'm actually astounded and in almost awe as to the foreplanning, wisdom, ability, power, strength that the Holy Spirit has. It's amazing. We had occasion to sit with two couples, and the one couple in 2004, that's 9 years ago, was sitting here, and we were about to put spots on the radio to advertise a meeting. We had no money to do it, but David spent time developing the one-minute spots, and we were waiting on the Lord to provide the funds. An individual within, it was being talked about, but it wasn't being asked for the funds to come in. It was just being talked about. The individual sitting there, the Lord spoke to them and said, "You're supposed to buy the spots." They probably had never heard that before, but the Lord says, "I want you to buy the spots." So they were faithful to hear him, and the major key word is obedience in all of our lives, pure, just obey. Doesn't get any bigger than that, obey. And the Lord told them the amount. We all know the Holy Spirit's been sent to show us things to come. He can show you something 200 years from now, and he can show you something 200 years before. But they heard the amount. Service was over. They left the service, and they went to an individual and said, "I want to pay for the spots. How much is it?" It was the exact amount. Real simple. Write the check. Here you go. A couple that was not going to this church, had relocated to Tulsa, was looking for a church. They knew the Lord. They loved the Lord. They just had not found a church home. She was out shopping, and she turned her radio on, and a spot came on. And she said to herself, now, really, she wasn't taking credit for it the way the Holy Spirit said to her, and she felt it without hearing his voice. Boy, that was good. That was good. She goes into the store, and she shops, and she comes back out, turns the radio on, and there's another spot. She goes somewhere else, probably, I think it was to get her hair done, but the in-between doesn't matter. She comes out the third time, okay? Turns her radio on, and there's another spot. Now, I'm sitting there listening to this story and realizing that we didn't buy those spots in that sequence. We didn't have that much money. So somehow, the Lord got those spots run when he knew that she was going to turn the radio on. I would like to take all the credit for it. You know, no credit. Totally him. So they decide to come. They come to the first service. They leave the first service, and the couple says, "I didn't understand a word Dave said. Yeah. Where's he coming from, you know? But I'd like to go back. I'd like to go back." They did that three nights or three times. Okay. And the third night or the third service when they were leaving, you know, they didn't understand much more. Okay. But they did understand the love. And they did understand the anointing that was in this place. And one of them turned to the other and said, I think we're supposed to go to church here. Now that couple, like everyone sitting here, is all designed for the present and the future for revival. And each one of you, like them, are going to be so instrumental, just based on what this said. You're going to be used beyond anything that you can even think or hope for, based on obedience. When the couple that paid for the spots, now 9 years later, heard that, their little act 9 years before that has really set the future for a portion of the promised land that the prayer center is going to possess, how do you think that made them feel? Number one, they realized they had nothing to do with it other than a simple act of obedience. And every one of you, if I sat down and talked with you, you have those simple acts of obedience every day, every week, that is the type of reward you're going to receive. And nobody even knows about it. Because it's not a gift. It's not the gift. It's who you are. And it all come from fellowship. My kingdom, there is nothing that is done in my kingdom that is by your power or ability. For it is not by might or power, but by my spirit. It is a kingdom of one. We are one in my spirit, and all that is done by my spirit through you. In the world, it is taught that ability is the gateway to all that is done. I have been training my family and teaching the ways of my kingdom, the ways of my family in this world. Much is made of your ability, but in my kingdom, I am your ability. Isn't that comforting to know? It's not by your strength, it's not by your might. It's by his ability that he flows through you. We are a family, and it is in me that you live and move and have your being. Your life is in me, and we are not separate entities. We are one by spirit in you. We are united by your life in me, that is the life in you. You were born in my image. The most important factor is our relationship, not your ability. He does not call you or ask you to do something that you can do by yourself. He only asks you to do the impossible, because to him there is no impossible. He doesn't ask you to do anything as a standalone outside of him. That's why you need to get your words. That's why you need to know your identity in heaven. Is that coming across? I mean, the more you grow in your knowledge of me and your trust in me, the more you will allow me to use you by my spirit. Many would say, oh, but my Lord, you may use me as you wish by your spirit. This is my one desire. Yes, That is your one desire. But the things of your soul that get in the way of my desire in you must be removed as you are retained by my truth, retrained by my truth. The least bit of your soul that wants to have its way over your spirit can keep my spirit at bay and can keep me from having my way. I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to go to the area of confessions. I'm going to read a confession that I would like you to say after me, and then I'll do a little bit of explaining. Okay? Father, I say that the life of God in my soul has full authority. That Christ may be fully formed within me, and that I may be filled to all the fullness of God. I give you complete authority, Holy Spirit, to restore my soul. I'm asking that by your grace and truth, you remove my will in every area. Replace it with your will, even in those areas that I don't know about. I'm asking you and thanking you for restoring my soul completely. If you want to write down references of Scripture for that confession, I don't know how you walk in your confessions. We're all reminded that the Lord has said that 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more valuable than 4 years of idle confessions. I don't know how you embrace that truth. I don't know how you personally bring the God of hope, and you're developing that using 4 hours, redeeming the time, and instead of spending 4 years of idle confessions, that you're spending 4 hours developing the image of a confession like that. Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 23. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Ephesians 4, 11 through 17. I will take the time just to read a portion of those that I've highlighted that is within the confession. We've been clearly taught you don't take Scripture out of context, so I'm not trying to take it out. You need to read all of that. That is developing godly hope in you. We've also been told if hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. You know that principle. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measures of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. These are all out of the two prayers that Paul prayed for the Ephesians that we spent about a year talking about, and we were going to begin to pray those every day. This is sort of not taking it out of context, but it's sort of crystallizing it. I would recommend, and you probably already have done this, every confession that you have, that the Lord has asked you to confess and create the image of godly hope, I would highly suggest you look up scripture for those and base every confession you have on the Word and on the words that he's given you personally. It's all part of the blueprint. It's all part of what he has said for you to possess his will for your life and to establish his kingdom. That it might develop until we obtain oneness in the faith, full of accuracy, knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive and really mature into manhood, the completeness and personality which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, that measures of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in him. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The next confession is this. Father, every instruction that you give me is a promise from you that you will fulfill that instruction you have given me by your grace. I surrender my will and become a humble and obedient co-laboring servant. How many references do you want? 1 Corinthians 15:10, you can write down. Philippians 2:13. Hebrews 13:21. Isaiah 55:10 and 11. Psalms 89:34 and 35. Galatians 2:20 and 21. I don't know how much time you allot for your confessions in your fellowship with him on a day-to-day basis. I didn't know I was to say this. If you're a faithful attender of the prayer center and you come to Sunday morning, both services, and you come to Calling in the Lost, and you come to Wednesday night service, the minimum amount of time that you spend doing that activity is 9 hours a week. I'd like you to ask yourself, if you're spending 9 hours a week in fellowship with him alone, if you're not, your life's out of balance, period. Don't throw stones at me. But we become so busy. You know, we don't take attendance here. We know you already know we don't want you here for your money. And I'm not saying that fellowship with the brethren is not important. We all know those scriptures. But I'm saying prioritize why. Listening to me or anybody that is speaking and you not having time to listen to your Father and have fellowship with him, there is something out of balance. That went over like a lead balloon. It's that level of fellowship. He has warned us. It didn't come as a warning. It came as an encouragement first. And then another encouragement and another encouragement. That when revival begins, that the way for you to remove yourself out of your lifelong dreams and desires to do His will is to become so busy that you remove yourself from that fellowship. Okay. The third and last, I think. No, maybe not. I have two more. Father, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Father, I am able to do nothing from myself, independently of my own accord, but only as I'm taught by my Father. And as I get His orders, even as I hear, I judge, I decide as I am bidden to decide. As Your voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just, righteousness. Because I do not seek or counsel my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim or my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who has sent me. I do nothing of myself. I do what my Father is doing. I say what my Father is saying. I go where my Father is going. And I act the way my Father is acting. That's John 5:30. Now the last one. Father, I do now take my seat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at Your right hand. Teach me how to exercise the authority that You have given me. Train me today that I may attain to the full stature of the perfect man of Christ. So that in me, Your will can be done on earth as in heaven. Amen and amen. Amen. Luke 10:19. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9, 4 through 10 actually. Isaiah 54:17, John 14, 26 and 27, Isaiah 57:15, that'll be enough. I didn't save the hardest one to last. I saved the one that the enemy fights the most against you. Once the God of hope you've surrendered to, that you're able to say, Father, I do now take my seat in heavenly places in Christ at your right hand. Teach me to exercise the authority that you've given me. You will begin to realize, we all will begin to realize, I'm really not a teacher here. I'm just someone talking. We'll all realize the authority that he's given us and the joy that it brings when we know he used us through us to establish his will on the face of the earth. When Jesus was before, I believe it was Pilate, and Pilate said to him, and Jesus was saying nothing, and he became aggravated, Pilate did, and said, don't you know that I'm the man of the hour and that I can crucify you or turn you loose? Don't you recognize who I am? Well, what did Jesus say to him? Amazing. Whatever he said to him, and whatever anointing was on those words, took him to absolutely nothing in his soul. Totally destroyed his mind for that moment, and his soul, and all the pride that he had, when Jesus turned to him and said, I want you to realize that you have absolutely no authority over me unless it was given to you by heaven. Do you know that you walk in that same authority because of the cross? See you in a half an hour.